Today with Joseph Prince.
The priests of the Old Testament, they were always standing. That's why there's no seat. There's a table in the tabernacle of Moses. There's a table that there's no seat because their work is never finished. But Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Most High. And we are seated with Christ. Ephesians tells us we are seated with Christ. So people, sit down. In regards to your sins, you know what? You are dead to sin. Sit down. Amen. In terms of being favored by God, you don't have to try to get it. You are highly favored. Sit down. Sit down. In every crisis, the devil is saying, what are you going to do about this? You say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. It's done. I see the victory already. You sit down. With everything, it's like a fresh sitting down. You're ready for God's word?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor, smile, and say, you will not die. Amen, amen. We talk about the SARS attack message. Remember that? Okay, in that message, God spoke to me during the SARS period. And during the SARS period, we had about 8,000 people during that time. Not a single person died. Yeah. And during that time, one of the things God said to me was from Judges, the book of Judges. And I spent time with God and asking for a word. He brought me to Judges where we have the enemies at that time has overtaken Israel and conquered Israel for the most part of Israel. And we have a warrior. He doesn't know he's a warrior yet. He's a young man by the name of Gideon, and he was threshing at night. Most people do it in the daytime. He does it at night, away from the enemies. Because every time the Israelites have a harvest coming, the enemies will come and take their harvest. Just like the enemy today. So he was threshing, he was fearful, and the angel of the Lord appeared. And the angel is Jesus' pre-incarnate appearance. And the angel says to him, "Hail you valiant man, or you brave man." And you know what he says? He says, "Where are all his miracles?" Do we have that up here? Show them. Okay, the angel says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Okay? Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" So this mighty man of valor has questions, right? He says, if the Lord is with us, why has all these things happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Drop down. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." Now, I find that very intriguing because when God turns to you and you just said things like, "Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord with us? Where are all his miracles?" It sounds to me like someone who is not strong in faith, someone who is weak. Am I right? And then in your weakness, the Lord looks at him, and this is how the Lord estimates weakness, okay? The Lord looks at him and says, "Go in this your might." I'm quoting from King James. This is the New King James. "Go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours." What might? He just said, where are all his miracles? Where is God with us? And God says, this is your weakness, but your weakness will become the opportunity for me to demonstrate my strength. So in a way, your weakness is actually your might. Go. Go in this might of yours. "Have I not sent you? And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Drop down. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon says, "Alas." Okay, I just dropped down quite a lot. So in between, what happened was that he prepared the Lord a sacrifice and some food, actually, because he's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And the Lord actually caused fire to come out of the whole thing. And he realized that this is no ordinary angel. It is the Lord. And the Lord disappeared. By the way, he asked the Lord's name. You'll find he asked the Lord, "What is your name?" Amen. And the name of the Lord is amazing. It is wonderful. Now, I'm getting myself mixed up with the story of Samson. Samson 1, wonderful. Yes, wonderful. Pele, God of the God who works miracles. Anyway, it's the same story of sacrifice. But the sacrifice here, the Lord went up in the sacrifice and the Lord disappeared. Then he realized it's no ordinary angel. It's the angel that receives an offering. Angels don't receive offerings, so it's the Lord. So let's follow. He says, "Alas, O Lord God, for I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." In those days, they are so afraid. If they see an angel face to face, there's a belief among them, which is not, it is erroneous, it's not true, that you will die. And he thought he would die. Then the Lord said to him, and as I was preparing during the time of SARS for a word for our people, our 8,000 people at that time, and this is what God said to me, "Peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die." So I said to the people, this is God's word to you. God is saying to you, peace be to you, don't be afraid. You will not die.
Amen.
Amen. Peace be to you. Shalom. Shalom. Don't be afraid. You will not die. Amen. You will not die. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. In Hebrew, it is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom or Yahweh Shalom. Pronounce it in the Hebrew way. Yahweh Shalom. This is the first time the God of peace appears. Later on, even in the New Testament, you find the Apostle Paul using the phrase, "The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet." It is the God of peace that crushes Satan. So when you hear the God of peace, don't forget, if he speaks to his Jewish friends, he will be saying, "Jehovah Shalom." So here, Jesus is Jehovah Shalom. And the first time it appears, this phrase, "The Lord is our peace." Amen? The Lord is peace. The first time it appears is in the context of what? You will not die. Peace, because God gives you this word. Don't be afraid. You shall not die. Amen? Amen? Peace. Don't be afraid. You shall not die. Smile at your neighbor right now. And this word is still God's word for us today. Amen. With this coronavirus, okay? Smile at your neighbor. Smile. Smile. Don't cough in his face. Smile. Okay, and say, peace be to you. Don't be afraid. You shall not die. Say again, you shall not die. Say, you shall not die. So the year after, we had our Solid Rock magazine, and I also testified that out of 8,000 people, not a single person died. And there's a testimony to God's glory. And I'm believing God. Believe together with me. Amen? That there's not one of you. Not one. Amen? Now, compared to other places, other churches and all that, we are huge. Amen? So even talk about the law of probabilities and all that, but even during SARS, not one died. So we know that the same God. And during that time, what do? We had Psalms 91. We had the cards passed out. You all have the cards? Amen? And every day, read it. Read it again and again and again. Amen. Praise God. You know that Psalms 91 covers every area of your life. Now, before I come to Psalms 91, I just want to tell you first, let's not forget the theme of the year. Year of time and space. Amen. And I shared last week, I just wonder if you really understood what I said, that in the Hebrew, there is no number. There is only a letter. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? 22 letters. And every letter is a number. Like instead of writing number one, they put Aleph. Instead of writing number two, they put Beth. And every letter is also a picture. Aleph is an ox. Beth is the house. That's why Aleph, Beth, Abba, father of the house. He is the leader. The ox is the leader of the house. Do you see that? So you say Abba. Amen. Now you put between Aleph and Beth, the first and second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, you put in between Hey, you have Ahava, which is love. Amen. So today we see the Father's love. So today when they say Ohev, Ahav, Ahava, all right, in Israel, it's love. And it's love spelled this way, Aleph, Hey, and Beth. Ahav. You got it? Interesting, huh? Right? Hebrew is, I love Hebrew. I just love Hebrew. Praise God. And if you look at the the year 2020, what is the Hebrew letter? It is the word kaf, kaf. Now, this is not original with me. The rabbis, the Jewish tradition is always like this. They take the Hebrew year. Now, Hebrew year is not the same as our Gregorian calendar, which is 2020. Death is, this year is 5780. Okay? There's another reason, which I won't go into, why their year is like this. But they also consider our year, and they will translate our year 2020. Amen? And 2020, when I received this from the Lord, I have not checked out any of the Hebrew people. In fact, I have one friend, I asked him in Israel, and he doesn't know. He said he doesn't know. But when I look at 2020, and I discovered it's two hands, kaf, kaf. The letter kaf, say kaf. Kaf. Well, English actually probably got its derivative, the kaf, your kaf, from this hand. Kaf is the hollow of the palm, and it means to bless. Kaf, kaf. Yud is generic term used for the hand, or yad, okay? But kaf is open hand of blessing. It's not a closed hand, it's open hand. Amen? So 2020 is what? Two hands open. By the way, let's do this as a tradition during this time, because we have people with infirmities and people who are worried, anxiety. When I talk about infirmities, I talk about people who are more prone to worry and care and all that. So we don't shake hands, okay, during this time, just for the sake of... what we do is this. Cool? It's the year of kaf, kaf. You can do both as well. Amen? Kaf, kaf, kaf. Got it? Got it? Let's try again. Look at neighbor. You. You. Okay? All right? I prefer this. All right, then any other expression? So we don't have to shake hands? Amen? In fact, let it be a testimony. Why you do that? All right? Just say that. Actually, it's both. All right, that'll be a testimony. Amen? Yeah. 2020, open hands of blessing. Yeah. Can I have a good amen? Amen. In fact, the word for son in Hebrew is the word Ben. Your name is Benjamin. Son, Yamin, Ben of the right hand, son of the right hand. Amen? But the word bar is also son in Hebrew, and more Aramaic. But bar is also son. Like for Jesus, look at Peter and say, Simon Barjona, Simon son of Jonah. Simon, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So Barjona means son of Jonah. His father is Jonah. Amen. Reminding him of the dove, the Holy Spirit is the one that revealed this to him. Now, if you look at bar and you put a kaf at the end, barak, kaf is, the letter is like kaf, kaf. So you put a kaf at the end. Let me show you this, okay, first. See the word bar? Reading from right to left. Bar is bet resh bar, that spells sun. Kaf, this is kaf, open hand. Got it? So barak. Barak means blessing. Barak. Okay? Barak means blessing. So here you go. Son, barak. Put a kaf there. It becomes son, blessing. The son is blessing. And this is why we see Jesus being blessed. It's always the idea of Jesus' hand extending. And it's a kaf. Can I have a good amen? We have a picture to show you right now. This is what I believe is happening all the time. All right, he's always imparting, he's always blessing, he's always restoring, he's always delivering, he's always protecting. Can I have a good amen? Yeah. You know what else we discovered? Don't forget the generic word for hand, all right, is yad. And if you talk about A to Z in the Hebrew letter, aleph to taf, just before kaf is yad. Yad is generic word for hand. So even the letter before kaf for open hand of blessing is the letter yad. Very interesting. Put them together. It's the hand and the blessing. Watch this. I just discovered yesterday, only yesterday, because I was counting the Hebrew letters. I have a love for, don't ask me why, but I love studying the Hebrew. And for the first time, I felt an impression in my spirit. I never read this anywhere, never heard anything, never seen this on the internet, whatever. It's something that I don't like to like do things and receive from you know, use revelation. You know what I'm saying? I like to have it from the Lord fresh for you. So I felt the Lord leading me and asked me to study Psalms 91 in the Hebrew. And I began to study that. I did it in the past. I'm doing it again. But this time, he told me to do something I never saw before. So look at the first letter of the Psalms 91. So I look at it. It's Yeshaf, which means sit down. Sit down. It all begins with sitting down. He who sits. Literally, he who dwells is he who sits. So the first thing we need to do in this crisis, we want God's protection on us. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Sit down. You only sit when the work is finished. The priests of the Old Testament, they were always standing. That's why there's no seat. There's a table in the tabernacle of Moses. There's a table that there's no seat because their work is never finished. But Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Most High. And we are seated with Christ. Ephesians tells us we are seated with Christ. So people, sit down. In regards to your sins, you know what? You are dead to sin. Sit down. Amen. In terms of being favored by God, you don't have to try to get it. You are highly favored. Sit down. Sit down. In every crisis, the devil is saying, what are you going to do about this? You say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. It's done. I see the victory already. You sit down. With everything, it's like a fresh sitting down. What about this coronavirus? Are you scared? No. I know I'm protected from it already. I'm seated with Christ far above it. It will not come near me and my family. Amen. Sit down. Even a fresh sitting if you want to. So the first thing it says is sit. So the very first word is sit. And in the Hebrew grammatical construction, the first word usually is the emphasis of the verse. You need to sit down. And I noticed something. The very first letter is yad or yud for the hand. Got it? Yud. Now watch this now. That's the very first letter that opens Psalms 91. The very last word and the very last letter, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, is also a yad and a yud. And God spoke to me, tell them, not only I'm blessing them, I've got them in both hands. Amen. Both the Psalms is like a picture of the all-encompassing hands protecting us. Amen. With all these promises, amen. With all these blessings. Can I have a good amen, people? Amen. You're like Hebrew? Can you smell the tea in the air? Hebrew. Do you like Hebrew? Amen. I love the brew, Hebrew. Amen. Praise God. So, here we have it. And the year 2020, we have this verse, Exodus 20. 20 is a number of redemption. In the Bible, 20 is a number of redemption. For example, we have the Goel Redeemer, the story of Ruth. Ruth was a woman who is not a Jew. She was married by Elimelech's son, and they left Bethlehem. They went to Jordan, which is not Israel, on the other side, Moab, the land of Moab, present-day Jordan. And there, Elimelech died. And then his wife, Naomi, she had two daughter-in-law. Both her sons also died. Poor thing, one after another. It's like away from the place of blessing is death. The house of God is the place of life. This is a place of great grace. Oh, this is the place where the Lord commands his life forevermore. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen? Not the building. And all the people said, amen. So what happened is that Naomi wanted to go back. She heard that God is visiting the people back home in Bethlehem, the house of bread. God is giving them bread. Amen. There's no more famine. And she was on her way back, and the only daughter-in-law that followed her was this non-Jewish daughter-in-law named Ruth. Amen. It's a beautiful love story. I have an entire teaching called The Love Story of Ruth. You will love it. It's my favorite book in the Bible. Now, I have different favorite books every year. Amen. So right now, this is my favorite book. And she met the most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem. His name was Boaz. His name is, in him is strength. Amen. It's very interesting. In him is strength. Who does he represent? Jesus. Amen. So now, Naomi has lost her possession. She has left home. She has lost her possession. And the only way to get it back, if there is a relative, there's a law of God called the law of the Redeemer, Goel. In Hebrew, Goel, Redeemer. Which means, if someone, you have a relative that is wealthy, you have a relative that is willing, because no point being wealthy, not willing. He must be wealthy, he must be willing. Amen? And then he qualifies to be a redeemer. He must be a relative, of course, because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to be one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He must be our relative to save us. Amen? And then, is he wealthy? Oh, yes. Amen? Is he willing? on the cross. This is how willing he is. Amen. And we are roof. We are roof. Most of us actually, the type of roof is actually she's a non-Jew. Amen. She doesn't belong to God's people, but she was redeemed. Boaz married her. And she became the great-great-grandmother of David. And if you look carefully at the genealogy in chapter 1 of Matthew, of Jesus' genealogy, you'll find that Ruth's name is mentioned there. Amen. Amen. A non-Jew. Praise God. It's a beautiful story of redemption. Why do I tell you all that? I tell you all that because only 20 times, no more, 20 times the name Boaz is mentioned in the book of Ruth, which ties him up with redemption. I told you 20 is the number of redemption. Amen. And 5 is the number of grace. The fifth time Ruth's name is mentioned, Ruth says, "Why have I found favor, grace in your eyes?" Amazing. Amazing. The fifth time Noah's name was mentioned in the Bible, you count all the way to the fifth time, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Exodus, talk about the tabernacle of Moses. We get the structure of the tabernacle of Moses. Show them the tabernacle of Moses structure from the top. If we have any photo, right, from the top. We are removing the ceiling or the curtains, the coverings, and we're looking from the top down at this. Now, have you noticed the wooden boards? That's you and I. Let me show you the wooden boards, okay? This is the wooden board. And actually, it's wooden. It's overlaid with gold. It's a picture of you and I. We are wood. We are human. We have our infirmities. We don't look good. We look very grainy. Amen. We look very, you know, we have sinned against God. And we don't look good in and of ourselves. Praise the Lord. But you know what God does when you are saved? He overlays you with His divine righteousness. Amen. He makes you the righteousness of God in Christ. So this wood, they cut, all right, they form it, and then they overlay it with gold. What you're seeing is gold. And not only that, the feet of the wooden board, notice it's not lying down, it is standing. Why? There are two feet. There are two tenons, they call it tenons. Very interesting. The word tenons in Hebrew is two hands. Two hands. Jesus says, "My Father, none can pluck them out of my Father's hands." Amen. "And none shall pluck them. I give them eternal life, and no one can take them from my hand." Wow. So we have Jesus' hand, we have the Father's hand, we have two hands. Amen. So the Lord supports you. Amen. So there are two pointers that are actually called hands in the Hebrew. It goes into silver sockets. Say silver sockets. So there are two silver sockets, one here, one here. You know what? Let's watch it. Just sit back and look at this. So these are two silver sockets. These are the two hands, tenons, wooden board. That's you and I in the natural. We are now the righteousness of God. When God looks at us, God sees the goal. Amen? We are all side by side. All right? In the bond of peace, the Holy Spirit binds us together. We make up the house of God, the temple of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are not to function as an individual board in the desert. We are all side by side. Now, Jesus says, "Why behold thou the wooden, the speck?" Speck is wood, or the mote. "Why behold that piece of wood in your brother's eye?" That means you are looking at each other naturally. Look at one another in the righteousness of God. Look at one another covered with gold. Amen. Look at churches around you and don't criticize. See them in gold. Praise God. Amen. Even if people criticize you, you don't look at them and say, "Man, I see you in gold, man." Amen. They say your pastor is teaching the wrong doctrine. Yeah, he teaches that you are gold, man. Praise God. He teaches you you are gold. That's why I see you as gold. Thank God. If you are wood, chop you down already, finish. You know, but you are gold. Praise God. I see you as gold. Don't bow down to that level where you start seeing the natural. Amen. And all this is, you know, even being seated with Christ, you got to see it. One thing good about all this crisis is that it makes you come to the place where you ask yourself, is this just theory or is this reality? Believers are forced to come to a place. Do I just give lip service to Psalms 91 or do I really believe I live in Psalms 91? That this is a reality. That's why it starts with seated. Seated means the work is finished. Do you see it? Jesus looked at the man who is withered in his hand, and what he saw was a whole hand. He didn't say, "Your hand is very withered, bro. It'll get even more withered." All right? He says, "Stretch forth your hand." You don't say that unless you see something beyond the natural. Yeah. And the Lord always sees things that's beyond the natural. Amen. And one characteristic of the Father in heaven that Abraham emulated was that he calls those things that are not in the natural, they are not, as though they are. Amen. Because he sees in the realm of the spirit, the eternal realm, the realm that is more real than the natural realm. So here we go. We are all like this. Praise God. Aren't you glad? And we are always standing because you don't stand by your strength. You're on silver socket. Silver is a number of, type of redemption. Okay, you know where they get the silver sockets from? The coin, half shekels. And you look at the teaching on half shekels, they say that one shekel, the teaching there says, is 20 gerah. Number 20 is there for redemption again. It's redemption money. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus. So all the people will give half shekels, and that's what goes into the silver. It's a picture of redemption. Are you all with me so far? Now, the Exodus 26 says, you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards. So 20 boards north, you saw the north and south, right? Right? Show them a picture from the top again. All right? That's the north and that's the south. The tabernacle always faces east. So 20 boards, 20 boards. No more, no less. Stop. Did I just say 2020? We are living in the safety of? Come on. We are living in the safety of? The secret place of the Most High. Now, one thing the Bible says, Jesus himself said, is that pestilence will be on the rise. You know, he said on the Mount of Olives, he just told the disciples, he just went through the temple area. And the disciple says, Lord, these stones are so beautiful. The temple of Herod, so beautiful. Look at that. And Jesus says, the time is coming. There will not be one stone left upon another. Today, the place of the Temple Mount, you don't have one stone from that time left there. Amen. You have stones left in its place 2,000 years ago from the time of Christ. In places like Chorazin. Amen. In Tiberias. But not on the Temple Mount. Jesus' word came to pass. In fact, Titus, who became emperor of Rome later on, he was a general during that time. He told his men, do not destroy the temple. But when the temple gold started going down between the cracks, the soldiers start throwing down the stone to get at the gold. Okay? So you can say they disobeyed their general in the heat of the moment. So the Son of God on Mount of Olives said, there will not be one stone left upon another. And in natural, he's a carpenter. The general of the army says, preserve the stones. Whose word came to pass? Jesus. And it's amazing, sitting on the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, let's follow the story, and it says that they came to him. It doesn't say who are the disciples that came to him, but in Mark, it tells you, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, 4 of them came to Jesus, says, tell us, Lord, when are you coming back? What are the signs of your return? Now, because of time, I'll just drop down to verse 24. And they were followed by the edge of the sword. Jesus is talking right now. They were followed by the edge of the sword. Israel were followed by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. That happened in AD 70 when the Romans came in, what I described just now. With General Titus, the son of the emperor, who became the emperor later on. They came in, and by the way, just to let you know, when they burned down the temple, it's not forgotten. What happened was that 9 years after that, I think it was about 9 years, give and take about under 10 years, their second largest city of Rome, city of the Romans. Right, the first is Rome, number 2 is, guess where? Pompeii. You know what happened to Pompeii? Right? Because of what happened? They burned down the temple of God. The entire city was burned. And burned by the volcano, lava and ash. It's really, really amazing. So the thing is that there's no way you can do that kind of thing. Yet, even though it's a judgment and the people were scattered because they rejected Jesus, Jesus said, just like Psalms 91, he will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you shall take refuge. Right? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You know, Jesus said this. He was on a donkey. He wrote down at the Mount of Olives. And he looked at Israel. at the Temple Mount and he wept. And he says, how I wish I could have gathered you like a mother hen. All right, twice he said that. How I wish, if only you knew today the things that belong to your shalom, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Now armies will come and lay siege around you and they will destroy you. Jesus wept. Pastor, why can't Jesus do anything about it? He's all powerful. He can cleanse the leper and stop deaf ears and not. God will not force his blessings on your life. If you don't want him, he cannot force. That's why God gave you the choice in the first place, or else Adam will never fall. If God can force himself on Adam's choice, the choice that he gave to Adam, then there'll be no sin. The moment Adam takes the fruit, God says, stop! Then his hand, stop. And then God turned his hand like this. Now slap yourself. Again. Again. You know, God doesn't do that. When God gives you free choice, and when you look at the world and the condition that it's in, don't blame God. God is the answer. Amen. If God has his way with the world, and we'll see that when Jesus comes again, there's no more sickness, there's no more poverty, there's no more, you know, everything is perfect when Jesus comes. There's no need for quarantine, there's no need for hospitals when Jesus comes. There's no need even for courts and all that. There'll be rule, order, justice, righteousness, and there'll be beautiful, you know, everything is perfect. That's when God has his way. So this earth, God doesn't have his way. The earth is groaning. Even this coronavirus, whether it is from the market or not from the market and all that, blame man, not God. Jesus said that Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles. And we know that from then on, Romans and then all the way down to the Mamelukes and all the way down to the our times. The last was the Turkish and then the British. And finally, after 2,000 years, it came back into Jewish hands. In the Six-Day War, Jerusalem came back. Six-Day War, unparalleled in history, except Joshua and the 6 days of marching around Jericho. The seventh day was theirs. Seventh day, Jerusalem, after 2,000 years, become Israel again. That's why it's such a hotbed. It is not just natural and political. It is spiritual. Are you listening? And Jesus says, when will Jerusalem return? Jerusalem be trampled by Gentiles until by non-Jews. That means its rightful people will have it when the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. If that is true, we are seeing it happen in our day. They have Jerusalem, yet they don't have it. The day they have it fully, we know the end of times of Gentiles really. Okay? And there'll be signs in the sun. We are seeing it happen in the moon, in the stars. This past decade, even this year, we have seen more eclipses that we are told by scientists will not happen until like, what, 100 over years, 200 years, some few hundred years, but we are seeing it happen in our generation. This decade has seen more blood moons than any other decade. So there'll be great signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons. Go on. Man's hearts failing them for fear. Now, that's what I'm saying. Don't be fearful. Peace be unto you. You will not die. Don't be fearful. Why? Your heart can shut down because of fear. Amen. Your heart can shut down. You are not created to function in fear. Fear will shut down your system. Are you listening to what I'm saying? John G. Lake, I shared about John G. Lake last week, and John G. Lake mentioned that when by the way, he's a missionary to Africa. When he was there during the bubonic plague, people were dying all around him. It's a terrible plague. It's worse than this coronavirus. People are dying all around him. But he and another Dutch guy took care of the dead. They buried the dead. Some of them, 3-4 people in one grave. You know, but he just helped bury them. And neither one of them became sick. Soon, a huge ship came from England. And they had supplies. And they had medical doctors and all that. And one of the medical doctors went to John G. Lake and says, What protection have you been taking? Because you've been here for a long time. You've never taken this disease. He says, sir, I believe in the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law, the spirit of life. Romans 8, verse 2. The law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the reason why your hair turns gray, the reason why wrinkles added to your face, the reason why you feel more tired, the reason why you have conditions in your body is because of the law of death working. Everyone have sinned. It's not God's will. This is not, God didn't create man to be sick. God made man to be sprightly, to be healthy, to be radiant, walking in radiant health. Amen. Never growing old. But sin brought all these things. So there's a law called the law of sin and death. And there's sin. Sin from Adam, as well as also our own sins that causes decay, causes disease, causes problems in our lives. Amen. It's called the law of sin and death. But thanks be to God, Jesus came. And now there's a new law in our lives. If we learn to walk in it, we learn how to tap into it. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. Like there's a real law of gravity, but every day is broken or is transcended by planes taking off, right, at our Changi Airport. It's proof that, is the law of gravity still there? Oh yeah, the law of gravity still works. Amen. But what happened to the plane? How come it can take off? Because there's another law called the law of thrust and lift that transcends the law of gravity. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made, past tense, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And you need to confess this. Another thing very interesting, John G. Lake said that. And this is what he says. He says, sir, if you don't believe what I'm saying, he said, when they die, you see that there's a foam in their mouth. There's a lot of microscopic germs. Take it, put it under the microscope on my hand. Put it on my hand, he says. Okay? And you'll find that they will all die. See, these germs will live for some time. But the moment they touch his hand, they look at the microscope, they were shocked. Every one of those germs died. And you know what he said to him? This is what John G. Lake said. He looked at the man and said, this is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It was later on John G. Lake taught that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus cannot operate when you are in fear. When you are in fear, he said, if I was fearful, I will absorb the disease germs. And then they become disease. He said, a lot of people are fearful. When they are fearful, they absorb everything around them that is negative, even the disease germs. But when you're full of faith, right, you repel disease germs. He said, the law of spirit of life, as long as he knows that, he stays in that place of, he didn't say this, but I'm saying this, you're seated, you are restful. God will protect you. Even when disease touches you, it dies. Now, I'm believing God for that. How about we join John G. Lake with that? Let's believe God for that. Man. Let's believe God for that. Amen? Maybe these things is a wake-up call for all of us who take our faith seriously. Amen. The end-time generation are people who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. It's one thing to be alive because you are young, but it's another thing to remain. That means what? You know something about remaining alive until the coming of the Lord. And it's never a scriptural position to be talking things like, one day we'll all die. All right? That's true for the world, but for the Christian, we wait for his son from heaven. The scriptural posture of the New Testament believer is to wait for his son from heaven. Amen. That is, and it does something to us. It changes our lifestyle. It does something. It's a purifying effect. I believe also there's a life-giving effect, looking for Jesus. Amen. You don't look down, you look up. We don't speak like the world. Everybody dies. You know, don't look down, look up. And that's what Jesus says as well. Then he says, man's heart's failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. What does it mean, the powers of the heavens will be shaken? Very interesting, the Greek word here is the powers of Uranus in the Greek. Uranus is used for the Greek deity that they worship and all that, but Uranus is also the Greek word where back then they didn't understand it. Today we understand it, uranium. And the powers of uranium will be shaken. Have you seen how they shake uranium? There's a machine and they have like tubes and it's constantly shaking. That's what they do to build nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons is made from uranium. Y'all look at me kind of surprised. Y'all don't know. I'm not telling you stories, and I'm telling you facts, you know. All right, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So man's heart will fill them. Then they will see. Notice when it happened? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, all right, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Show them the part where the great earthquakes and all that. Go back. Yeah, there'll be great. Before this, he said there'll be great earthquakes in various places. Great earthquakes defined as 6.0 above on the Richter scale. Okay? And we have seen more great earthquakes. Actually, earthquakes are happening every day, but they're not great earthquakes. I'm seeing a frequency of the great earthquake. This 1 month alone, we are seeing great frequency of the great earthquakes. Don't we? Amen? Already, my first sermon was on how God will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. Then I talked about the locust, the crawling locust, this locust, that locust. Next thing you know, there are locusts being, you know, making a comeback. Where is it? In Kenya? You know? And they say for decades, they have not seen locusts. And now locusts making a comeback. So I'm here to tell you, listen, in between, God may just say something to you for your own life. All these rabbit trails has a reason one. Amen? Last year, I pronounced a protection from the Wuhan virus, and I didn't say it properly, you all laughed. And many of you think, Pastor praying for us about the Wuhan virus, so far away, Wuhan. But I see some things about the end of this virus already. The way it's going to end. I told my wife yesterday how it's going to end, but I won't tell you just yet. Praise God. So he says there'll be great earthquakes. Notice there'll be famines and pestilences. Okay, there we have it, pestilences. There'll be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So drop down, pestilences, plural. And then we are here now, man's heart failing them for fear. And then right at the end, you'll see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Now what redemption? He's talking to his disciples. Or he's talking to us. We are safe already. So what redemption? Our body redemption. Yes. The only thing we're waiting this side of heaven is our bodily redemption. Our bodies will be like his body. You know, in heaven, we are not going to be like ghosts. Like ethereal, bodiless blob floating around. No, we're going to have a body like Jesus' body when he rose from the dead. Except, no more subject to decay. To growing old, no more subject to disease. We have this body forever. The entire universe is our playground. Hallelujah! And that's why he said, look up. He didn't say, look down. When these things happen, don't be discouraged. These are signs. Look up. God is not sending those signs. He's telling you the earth is groaning until it gets worse and worse and all these things will happen. Just know I'm coming back. Before the worst happens, I'll come back. He'll come back for his church. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Pastor Prince, the Antichrist will appear first. If you believe that, help yourself stay back if you want to. I'm going up. He didn't say, my Father's house are many mansions, but I will come after the Antichrist comes. No way. He says, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So the only redemption we are looking for is our bodily redemption. Smile at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. All right, there's hope for you. Look at your neighbor on the other side and say, there's hope for your face also. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No more getting up with aches and pains and all that. We'll be always strong, always energized, always having a great sense of aliveness and being, and knowing you'll never, never, ever die. How fast will you travel in your chariot of fire knowing you will never die? Amen. Forever. Jesus rose from the dead bodily. Amen. And even though he told them, touch me, and he could eat, by the way, Singaporeans, Jesus ate after he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He ate fish. He ate broiled honeycomb. There's hope. Hallelujah. Okay. We go right now to the redemption. The bodily redemption is something the Bible says when he comes again, he will change our vile body like unto his body. So even after the coronavirus is over, let me just tell you this. Even when it's over, do you mean there's no more danger in this world? No. All kinds of dangers. I'll tell you something. God is so good. When God said the plague is coming, even though the Hebrew idiom is that God sends, but actually God has nothing to send. If you understand the Hebrew, there's also a causative tense and there's a permissive tense. When it says the Lord sent pestilence, it's actually the Lord allowed pestilence to come. The idea is that his hand is always protecting, even the world, his hand is protecting. But there comes a time when men want to insist on his way and doesn't want to do it God's way, God take his hand off. Then you will realize the reality. It's not like God sent. In that sense, the Hebrew idiom is the Lord sent. All right, but even the Hebrew, in their own language, they have the permissive tense. They will say, the Lord allowed it. But they don't say, the Lord allowed it. The Lord sent. But in the strictest form, in the language, is the Lord, is a permissive tense. Amen. I'll show you an example of this. Okay, let's go to Exodus 12. Now the blood, remember the last plague. God, time and time again, God told... By the way, y'all need to pay attention on all this because you think that it's not just 3,000, about 3,500 years ago when this happened. Don't just think of it, oh, so long ago. No, these things happened to us. 1 Corinthians 10, all these things happened to them as examples, as tupos, as types. The word there is types. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Do you see that? Okay, we are the generation he's talking to, right? So we study the Old Testament to learn. Amen. The pattern is the same. The pattern. What is the last plague? The last plague. It was not coronavirus. What was the last plague? The death of the firstborn. But think about, it was a 10th plague. Imagine one plague. You know, he still hardened his heart. Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Second plague, he hardened his heart. Third plague, hardened his heart. Fourth plague, hardened his heart. Fifth plague, hardened his heart. Find the Bible says, the Lord hardened his heart. But again, it's in the permissive tense because he kept on hardening his heart. God says, now I'm going to demonstrate what a hardened heart can do and how I will demonstrate my glory even in spite of it. I'm going to use that to my glory. Amen? He hardened. Sixth time, still hardened. Seventh time, let my people go. So simple, right? Let my people go. Refuse. Then seventh time, then the eighth time, the ninth time. Enough is enough. I need to show you all this to show you it wasn't just God decided to send a plague. God was merciful to Pharaoh and to the land of Egypt. So the 10th plague, God says, one more plague is coming, the death of the firstborn. And then God says to Israel, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God is saying that plague is coming. It will destroy the firstborn. And God says, put the blood on the doorpost. You see the cross, right? I've taught this before, the doorpost. And then you have the lintel making up the cross. So the blood. The only safeguard, the only thing that will protect Israel from the destroyer is the blood. The blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Every day now, don't take it for granted. Cover your family. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, I remember when we lived in the temporary place. It was near quite a wildlife area at that time. They haven't cleared up the place. But we lived in this like a house. But it was an old house. But we stayed there for a while waiting for an apartment. And then I remember that Jessica was very small, 4 years old. And then, we kept on, she told us, she kept on hearing in her room, she kept on hearing bees buzzing. So we thought it was a young child just saying, you know, I hear bees. And then, so we decided, we took the anointing oil and her balcony area, we just put a line, just drop like a line of the anointing oil. Now, this is our expression of put the blood of Jesus. Amen? We mentioned the blood. And then, you know, I tell you this, Wendy is a witness. I tell you this, I wish I took a picture of it. I don't know why I didn't think of it. But the very next day, all towards the balcony area, all along this line where we placed the oil were dead bees. It's almost like they tried to get into her room and they couldn't. My friend, he passed on to be with Jesus already, Don Gossett, shares about a farm where they had, this farmer always were attacked by his cattle and his sheep, not sheep, like cattle and, yeah, cattle was attacked by wolves. And these wolves had, it was news going around. The news was that these wolves have rabbit disease. Okay, so what he did was this. He drew a bloodline of Jesus around his perimeter. So there were other farms And the animals were bitten and all that. They tried to kill the animal, but the animal became like rabbit, you know, the disease, the mad cow, like mad cow kind of thing. But this farm area, he just put the blood of Jesus. He prayed a prayer, put a bloodline in the name of Jesus. He just said a simple thing like, in the name of Jesus, I put a bloodline right now over my family, around my family, in the name of Jesus. Amen? And guess what happened? He says that the next day, or the next few days, he was walking on his farm and he saw dead wolves all around that area. It's almost a similar story like the bees. Amen. And since then, we have people anointing their cars, anointing their wives. Amen. Amen. You can even anoint your body parts with the oil. God uses the simple things to confound the mighty. Amen. So today, instead of applying the blood physically, we can apply the blood with our lips. We speak the word and then it will happen. Okay? Amen. But the oil is an expression. And you'll find that if I say, oh, that's Old Testament, I'll teach you that in the New Testament, Jesus' disciples, they had Jesus, but they went out anointing people with oil. Even James says, if you're sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It's not the oil, it's the Lord that heals, but there's something to it. So if God tells me, you know, Jesus, the Lord gave the word to Naaman, who was a leper, dip seven times. Amen. Do you think he can just say, well, I'll just dip one time and see what happens? No, it won't work. Sometimes strange instructions, powerful results. Amen. Amen. I'd rather obey the Lord. Okay? Amen. Bring the oil.
Yes.
Amen. But don't make it so obvious, huh? To the point that, you know, people's like, wow, why this church? Wow, wow. Brother, can help not? Usher, come, Usher. Help me. Amen. How come, brother, you're pregnant? How many months? Oh, no, brother, Pastor Prince said, after I tried to appear like, my wife is pregnant. No, the wife is a big one also. All right? So, like I said, the smaller ones are more affordable and more practical. Okay? So, don't worry. These bottles will not run out. Okay? It's more powerful than all the alcohol agents or sanitary stuff that you use. That one is no guarantee. This is be a guarantee of God's word. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, church, the word pestilence is very interesting in the end times. Jesus says pestilence will be on the increase. And then he says the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. But notice here, the plague is as if he sent the plague. But watch this. Drop down a few verses further. The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow. Now we have another party. Not allow. So the Lord is what? Permissive. In a sense, right? So in a way, he will not allow. He will not give the permission. He will not allow. Am I right? Now, early on, you read as if there's no second, third party. Am I right? Am I right? As if you're reading, the Lord is sending it. But here the Lord says, he will not allow who? The destroyer to come into your house to strike you. And that's the reason why they observe these things forever. Even today, Jewish people observe this night. Amen. The Lord says, I will not allow the destroyer. Can I tell you something? There are all kinds of viruses, not just coronavirus. For years, there are all kinds of viruses. It's not just this year or last year it happened. No. It's been there. You know who is keeping it? The Lord. And why the Lord allow. Now, his fingers or his hand, I think it's just a finger, man. I'm telling you, if the hand goes, that's it. But by the way, two hands means double protection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. When you grab someone, you hold your two hands, right? Amen. It's an embrace. Watch this. God has protected us more than we realized.
Amen.
The devil tried to kill you when you were younger, but you survived long enough to get to be saved, to know the Lord, and here you are under his protection. But God protected you even before you knew him. And that's why all of a sudden you feel, you know, the Lord pulling you back, you know, things like this happening. In Psalms 91, it says pestilences. But it's not, I'm a Christian, this will happen to me naturally. No, you got to say it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Say it together. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. The next verse says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. I see you all learning well. Praise God. I'm so proud of this church. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. All right? The word pestilence is there. He will deliver. And he says, he goes on to say, he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. The verse says, you shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. You don't know where is it, but you don't have to be afraid of it. Why? God protects you. Amen. You shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your sight, and 10,000 at your right hand. So the sight here is left side, right? 1,000 may fall at your sight, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Love it. Now, you love Hebrew, right? Can I give you a bit more? Hebrew? Really? Look at this word, pestilence. This word, pestilence. Right? This word, pestilence, is the word dever. This is how you pronounce it, dever, okay? That's the word pestilence. Now, I'm going to show you something very interesting. Let's take that word in Hebrew. Bring it out. Okay? There's the word pestilence. Dever. Now, look at the letters. Dalet, right, is Dalet. Bet, the center one. Resh, the extreme left. Okay, reading from right to left. Deber, got that? You know what I found out? The etymology of this word is also, look at this, it's this word, Deber. Deber, which is word. Word. Same letters, right? Only the pronunciation changed because of the points, the little dots. The dots there change the point. Can you see the dots? It's different, but same letters, which means the word is the root cause, the root of the word deber, which means this: when God hides words like this, he's telling us something. What you say has a profound effect. What you say has got something to do in releasing or in protecting you from this pestilence. That's the nugget I receive in Hebrew. And the first time this word is used in the noun form, which is dabar in Hebrew, is this. Watch, are you ready? Look at this. Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now, if it came to him in a vision, what do you think he saw from the Lord? A shield. He saw a shield. A shield is for protection. But this is the first time the noun of the davar appears in this word. After these things, the dabar of the Lord came. It came as a shield for the pestilence. Now look up here, people. That's why what you say is important. You say, you never know, no. It's like law of probability. You know, you might get it, might not get it. Don't say that. We are depending on the unshakable word of the living God. You should not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Can I have a good amen? Yes, be wise. That's why we walk around the spiral stairs one step at a time. So sometimes God leads us, we need to pay attention so we can be at the right place at the right time. Have you noticed that these Psalms, let me bring this to a close. This Psalm, I got so much to share, you know. But this Psalms is actually covering, how do we say this? Every area, even every area of you. Serious. I was meditating on this yesterday. I was looking at it and I look, my goodness, your top is covered. You know why? He shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings, you shall take refuge. Yeah. Right? Like a mother hen covers. One lady was walking in the darkness. She heard the Psalms 91 teaching. And then she was walking in America. She was walking in the street. And a guy came up and grabbed her from behind. And all she can remember about the sermon was he will cover you with his feathers. She shouted, feathers, feathers! And the guy fled. All right? There's enough power in one word of God. Called feathers. All right? Maybe it's like a feathered, big feathered guy to come after him. All right? And so he'll cover you with feathers. That's the top, isn't it? That's the top, right? Your bottom. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There'll be danger from below. Am I right? Danger from, even your left side, left hand is protected. Why? And your right hand also, 1,000 shall fall at your side. Very near, right? Doesn't come to you. 10,000 at your right hand. So left, right, covered. Top, bottom, covered. Family, no plague shall come near your dwelling.
Amen.
Dwelling there being your family. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Covers everything. Your entire life. Okay. All seasons. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Whether it's night, noon, darkness, whatever it is, you are covered 24/7. What about your years? Your years with long life will I satisfy him. The last verse. With long life. Now, Pastor Prince, I don't think long life is for everybody. You are steward over your mouth. I just taught you all this. You can still talk like that. Finish. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. The wisest man that ever lived wrote that in the book of Proverbs by the Holy Spirit. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, don't give almighty power to the tongue. The tongue just is a little tool. God used the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. It's just an example of that. But it latches on the almightiness of God. Amen. It's the thing like a hyssop that sprinkles the blood on the doorpost. That's why it's like a hyssop. It's weak and soft, right? But God says the power of life and death in the tongue. You say, well, Dala, Dala, Dala. Ah, you said it, right? You said it. When I say, Liva, Liva, Liva. Don't say, I'm dying for that pineapple tart. You know, if you're dying, you can't eat it, labra. You cannot eat. All right? But you say, I'm living for it. Make more sense, isn't it? You live, you can eat, right? But don't eat so much pineapple tarts. Amen. Don't say amen to a pineapple tart. Okay, never mind. Praise God. I love pineapple tarts, by the way. Praise God. So you're covered all in all angles. Do you see that? Isn't God good?
Yes.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
Now, I see that many of you have memorized it. Another thing is that memorize Psalms 91. All right? And because we use it, we print it on the from the New Americans, from the New King James. So you memorize from the New King James. Right, but there's something about quoting this that is so powerful. There's something else about the Hebrew that's very interesting, that all the 22 letters, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's only 21 that's used on the surface of Psalms 91. The one that's missing is Zayin, which is number 7, which is the picture of a sword. But you know something? You know something? Zion is hidden in all throughout the psalm. It's Zion here, Zion here, Zion here. You see the small like a sword, you know, like that is Zion. It's like this verse is full of sword and it's hidden. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then it ends with the name of Jesus. With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Have you been blessed?
Yes.
Father, by the way, if you came in here just now and you have, I see you having joint conditions. Will you move that your area, whether it's your arm, your leg? If you need to stand up, just stand up. Move the area. Just stand up and move that area. Move that area. Move your leg. Move your arm. Move your neck. Amen. If there's a release, if that is you, praise the Lord. If the pain is gone, all right? You move it. The pain is gone. Do a big wave like this. Do a big wave. If you know the pain is gone. Amen. Okay, how long you had it, sister? You can shut up. How long you had it? Is it your shoulder or your arm? Your shoulder. You had it for some time. 8 months. And now you can move your hand.
Yeah, yes.
Praise the Lord. When you did that before, you had problems?
Yes, that was my elbow. But
wow.
Now it's my collarbone. It has been there for coming to 8 months.
Wow. And now you can do it. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Who else? Who else? You move that area and you find that there's no more pain. Okay, what happened? One more testimony, okay? Just a gentleman. Okay, praise God.
My left ankle was hurt 1 year ago. There's pain every day when I walk. Now okay.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And keep on walking. You know, I feel like you have been concerned about your heart also. Is that true? And you know something? Can I tell you? Okay, you want to say something?
Yes.
Your heart is now renewed. Strengthened. Do you feel strong right now? Do you feel strong?
Yes.
The leg that God healed you with, keep on walking if you can. At least twice a week, or if you can, three times a week, keep on walking. Amen. As you walk, tell the Lord, as you are healthy right now, so am I in this world. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Keep on walking, okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The rest of you are standing. I'm believing God for a manifestation before the day is over. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand before the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all like the song that Karen wrote during the SARS period, Psalms 91? You need to sing that song. Amen. Lift your hands all across this place. Now see yourself seated with Christ at the Father's right hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm seated with Christ at your right hand. Now just enjoy that. Enjoy His love, the closeness, the intimacy, and take a deep breath and just relax. Okay? Now, will you do this every day? When you wake up in the morning, just before you wake up, just lie down there and say, I'm seated with Christ. Amen? Seated means at rest. What are the things that's troubling me? It's always things that's not yet done, not yet covered, not yet finished. But tell yourself, in Christ, it's all finished. It's all finished. I see the finished product. I see the final end. I see the good end. I see the Lord has handled it. If you can, you have entered into His rest. This is the place of being seated in Christ in the most holy place. Amen? And remember this, you will not die. In the name of Jesus, believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. And before that, I just want those of you who have never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, because all these promises are only for those who belong to Him, those who put their trust in Christ, those who say, Lord, yes, you extend your wings, I won't shun them like Israel did many years ago. I welcome you, Lord. If that is you, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father in heaven, I thank you. Christ died for my sins. Christ rose again as a testimony that my sins were put away. I'm justified through the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now you're saved. You're saved. Amen. This coming week, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you keep everyone under the sound of my voice at the right place at the right time. I pray, Father, in Jesus, that at this time your people, your church will shine with the glory of God in the midst of this darkness. It'll be a time, Father, where the people are more open, Lord, to hear about eternity, about their souls, about their lives, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you make the people here, Lord, your evangelists, Lord. Messenger of the gospel of grace. Good news, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll cause their lives to be such a lighthouse, Lord, to all the people around, Lord, that people will come to them and ask them, what is this? What is this secret? What is this about you? I pray in Jesus' name you'll keep them in divine health, protect them as you have declared in your word, Father. Not a single one will be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in secrecy in thick darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I don't care, Father, if 1,000 fall at our side, Lord, and 10,000 at our right hand in this world, none shall come near us, Lord. It shall not come near us, Lord. Thank you, Father. No evil shall befall them throughout this week, and no plague will come near their dwelling. In Christ, your angels bear them up in their hands. Thank you, Father. With long life, you satisfy them. Thank you that you are the God that delivers them, honors them. And thank you, Lord, that you satisfy them with long life. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, confess it, believe it.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
The day after the Passover, when Israel came out, they came out none feeble, none weak, none stumbling, none tottering. Get ready with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. God is saying, when you partake, get ready for physical deliverance.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, you will receive Joseph's new 2-sermon audio series, The Healing Power of the Bread and Cup. Are you or your loved one trusting the Lord for healing? Then ignite your faith to receive your breakthrough as you hear powerful truths on the Holy Communion. And for a specific gift this month, you will also receive a collection that includes Joseph's brand new 90-day devotional and the Healing Scriptures book and audio companion. Be immersed in God's healing anointing as you listen to life-giving scriptures read by Joseph.
The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Request Joseph's brand new resource today. Call us toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org today. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.